Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, what's up? It's Metal Shop. Metal Shop's Backstage Pass right now. I'm talking with Mike Nine from I Hate God. Now, how are you doing today, man? Because we were going to see you guys in Seattle, and then we pull up to the show. Unfortunately, you guys had to pull out, but I'm glad you did. And hopefully, I mean, I'm glad you guys were able to recover and rest up. I guess, you know, how are you guys doing? How's everyone doing in the I Hate God camp right now?
I mean, everybody's fine. Yeah, it's a big bummer, though. I mean, I'm completely bummed out because I don't know if we're even going to do any more shows on the GWAR tour. It's looking pretty bleak. Our drummer and our merch guy slash driver slash booking agent, whatever else he is, whipping boy, they both tested positive for COVID, but there's no symptoms. Mm-hmm. I mean, one guy said he kind of had sniffles and stuff like that, but there was no symptoms. You know, they're vaccinated. We all are, of course.
Yeah.
So it just really sucked. I mean, the tour is really strict, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, you have to have a vax card to get in the show, and there's no one's allowed backstage and a lot of things like that. It's like the new nature of touring, I guess. But, We had to take the PCR test to get into Canada, and those two guys were tested positive, even though they didn't seem sick, you know, mm-hmm. but that's the rule. So, and one guy tested positive again. So even though the days have passed that he should be negative, but so I don't know, man, that's the breaks nowadays.
That's the thing, man. It's all touch and go. But, you know, I'm glad you guys are doing okay, at least, you know, and everyone's, you know, continuing on and at least feeling okay. It could be a lot worse, and it's good that you're vaccinated and whatnot, so.
Yeah, of course. I mean, definitely. If anybody didn't want to get vaccinated in my band, I think we'd have to replace them for tours, you know, because I mean, it's just a major thing in my mind, for sure.
So you kind of mentioned the backstage, you know, that what a strange contrast to what it normally probably was for I Hate God and the bands you play in and the bands you would tour with. And, you know, probably used to be just like raging backstage or at least hanging out with friends, jamming, you know, whatever, listening to music, smoking a blunt or smoking a joint. And
yes.
Now it's just, you know, hanging out on the laptop.
It was all that, you know. I mean, we could have like family members back there, or girlfriends or wives or whatever, but that was it, you know. There's no like random friends back there just hanging out, and so it's it gets a little quiet back there. I guess that's the new thing, but I mean, it was a good thing though, because I mean, sometimes there's just random people that end up sneaking back, and you don't, you know, you don't even know. Sometimes there's people you don't even know at all backstage. So
yeah,
but I mean, it's no big loss. I can deal with it, you know. Just for everybody to be safe, it's fine.
So you guys were gonna play on Thanksgiving week, and I'm curious about like. You know, I'm always curious about like what's a holiday like on tour, you know? Like what do you do for Thanksgiving? Do you guys go to like a Cracker Barrel, or do you guys just do you know, what's it like with I Hate God on Thanksgiving on the road?
Well, I don't really celebrate those things anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, just personally, I don't really care if it's Thanksgiving, you know, it's just another day to me, but I think I had eggs and cheese from a truck stop on Thanksgiving. But I think those guys, we all had our own rooms, so we, you know, I don't know what they did. I think they all went out to eat, but like separately or something, you know, just went out and grabbed like a decent bite to eat. But I just stayed there and, you know, like I said, truck stop, eggs and cheese.
Fair enough, man.
It was fine. I'm fine with that. I mean, we've played like Christmas Eve before or something like that, but you know, it's no big deal at all. It's just another day, really.
Another day on the job for the band. And then the day of the holiday, it's like, okay, well, we can't play a show. I guess I'll just stay in the hotel and hang out, eat your eggs and cheese.
Yeah. I mean, if that's what's going on, you know, I mean, we've played the holidays. We've probably played Christmas Day before.
I mean,
I wouldn't doubt it, you know, being this long in bands, you know. So yeah,
well, you know, this is certainly a strange time in 2020, especially. I spoke with Jimmy right around the beginning of the kind of like release, kind of when he was doing a lot of promotion for the record. And he mentioned that during, you know, during lockdown and when he wasn't able to tour, he actually got a job. I believe he said he was like working with some sort of metal, like framing or something.
Yeah, he works with a friend of mine, and they do, my friend welds like these wrought iron fences, and Jimmy helps with that. So yeah, he's doing that when he's not with the band.
So, you know, not being able to tour, what did you do to fill your time? And did you, you know, take a random day job, or did you, you know, how'd you fill your time and stay sane, quote unquote?
I haven't worked since the early 90s.
Okay.
It's probably the last job I had. I mean, I don't work, so I don't. I mean, I don't know what I do with my days. It's always something different, but we usually Jimmy doesn't work either, but I think he just took this because we were so long from touring. You know, it was a year and 8 months, I think people were saying something like that. So yeah, I get by. I'm all right.
But how did you stay sane, you know, like, you know, because so many people, you know, are used to just always being on the road and going to shows, at least, even if you're not playing them, you know, how'd you fill your time? Did you watch a lot of movies or, you know?
Well, to the question of how did I stay sane? I didn't stay sane.
Yeah.
I mean, it just was insane in itself. And, I think I went a little more crazy than usual.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the usual things, you know, you read, you watch things, you know, there's, you know, nothing special. Anything to pass time, you know, when, like right when it happened was when it was the worst, you know?
Absolutely. You live in a separate state from the rest of the band. Is that right?
No, I'm back in New Orleans.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I just kind of am everywhere. I'm everywhere yet nowhere.
You have the history of nomadic behavior. See what I did there?
I do. I always have. I was born in North Carolina.
So was I.
Moved to New Orleans. Were you?
Yeah, Elizabeth City.
What city were you from? Ah, okay. I was from High Point.
Cool.
Which is near Greensboro and all that. But anyway, yeah, I was born there. We moved to New Orleans when I was young. I've lived in New York, Boston, spent time in Chicago, San Francisco. I just like to travel. I get bored in certain places. And that's just how it is. You want to travel. Travel is education. It's knowledge. Traveling is a good way to learn things and learn about other people and other cultures, too. Like if you're going to Europe or anywhere else besides America,
Absolutely, man. And I try to travel as much as I can. Obviously, it's very not as easy right now and stuff, especially with, restrictions and whatnot or more restrictions.
Right.
But hopefully, in the sometime soon. So one thing I do have to mention, though, is I kind of buried the lead in mentioning we definitely have to promote the fact that your album is out now on Century Media. It's called The History of Nomadic Behavior. Came out last year. And was the album recorded entirely during the pandemic or was it done before?
It actually came out this year. It came out in March. The reality is it came out. We were in Ukraine the day we found out that there was going to be a lockdown.
Oh, my God.
So we were in Kiev. We were going to do a show over there. And we had to come home immediately. That was March 12th. So then this year, the album came out on March 12th. Total not planned that way. That was just a complete accident.
What a year.
Came out on March 12th. So it was an exact year to the day that that we were in the Ukraine and had to fly home, like, immediately. That's how we read the news, what was happening, that we could be stuck there and borders were closing everywhere. But it's just kind of cool that it came out exactly a year later, just totally by accident.
That's so wild. Damn, dude. So you guys recorded, did you start on the record before you were out on tour, or was this all recorded and done during the year of craziness?
No, it was actually there was a recording done in like 2017 or the end of 2016. Mm-hmm. I think it was more like 17. But that's when Brian Patton was still in the band, mm-hmm. our guitar player who left. Mm-hmm. He actually left to take care of his family. So, mm-hmm. That was cool. But so they recorded it with him and there was like some time spent listening to that stuff. And we realized, like, then Brian, after he left, we were listening to it, and we were kind of like, whoa. And then I was sick for a while as well, 2015, 16. Mm-hmm. So kind of when I got better and Brian was gone, it was kind of like we were a brand new band. Yeah. It was like a totally different, like a fresh start, So we scratched that first recording, and they ended up recording most of everything, the same stuff with some changes, parts changed, maybe some new things added in 2018. And then I did the vocals last year, 2020. Mm-hmm. So I went to Chicago to do the vocals right in the middle of the pandemic.
Yeah.
I went to a friend who was totally safe and, mm-hmm. we talked about all that and made sure that there weren't going to be people hanging out or anything. It was just me and him.
Did you record with Sanford Parker?
Yeah, Sanford Parker in awesome. Chicago. Hypercube Studios.
Cool, man. Well, you kind of mentioned in there that, your medical issues, and that was something that we reported on and talked about, and we shared the links to help you out when we could on our radio show back in 2016. So you were able to.
Thanks, man.
Of course, man. It's you're a huge inspiration as far as metal musician, and we always play your jams. And when you were in a hard time, we had to. So I'm cool, so glad, man, that you've been able to. You got a liver transplant, and after that, had to make some big changes in your life. How was it was it hard to be back on the road and have to make those changes?
Not really. I mean, you know, we're all, you know, calmer than we used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's times when I might, you know, drink a little wine or something, but I'm not like boozing it up like the old days, you know, yeah. and stuff like that. But, you know, we just take it a day at a time, you know, everybody in the band, you know.
Well, I will speak to a time where it was less calm in, I mentioned, off the air, that you guys played Bumbershoot. And I did mention to Jimmy that I would like to give you the award. I Hate God booked at Bumbershoot. It was a pretty raucous set. You guys drank a lot on stage, rocked the hell out, had a great time.
Yes.
And I will say, they never booked a metal band after you guys.
Yeah, I was wondering why we never got asked back to that festival.
No metal band got asked.
No, oh, really? So nobody. Wow, that's pretty odd, I guess. I mean, we played with Prong, I think.
Yep.
I think Prong opened for us,
yep,
which was
kind of
weird.
Yep, it was Prong, I Hate God, and Black Breath. And
yeah. Oh, right. I remember them. Yeah. Yeah, that was a strange day. But I was completely drunk as hell that day.
My question to the venue promoters is, did they do any research? What did they expect, dude? Like, they put on I Hate God on their festival. Come on now. It was awesome, though. And, you know, to be fair, they were already going in a less metal direction. You know, it's more so like hip-hop and EDM and all that kind of stuff anyway. So it's not it was already going in that direction. You guys just nudged them.
Well, who was the big band that day? It was Jane's Addiction, right?
So, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're not necessarily metal, but those guys party as well, you
that's
know,
true.
If you want to call it partying. Yeah, that's funny, though. I mean, I didn't think I thought we were pretty mellow that day. I didn't think we were that crazy, but yeah.
Well,
I'm proud of the fact if they stopped booking a certain type of music because of us. I'm actually proud.
Yeah. Hey, you know what?
It's funny.
Mellow on the I Hate God scale is crazy to anyone else.
I'm sure it is. Yeah. I mean, we definitely, you know, have had our day where it was just insanity every minute. How we made through some of those tours. I mean, some of them didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, so there's things that have happened. I won't get into everything, but you know, there's some tours where you just can't go on.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, but we've calmed down a bit. You know, we're a little more mature now, I guess you'd say. I don't know about that word,
you're I Hate God Incorporated. You're a business. I Hate God. You're a relaxed. I Hate God. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, we are an LLC, so
there
that
you go.
Counts. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm curious about, so you go on tour with Gwar, you watch the Gwar show. This is kind of a goofy question, but if you were to be asked on stage to be a Gwar character for one night, say someone got sick, we need a Gwar character. They give you the get up. Give yourself a Gwar name. What would your Gwar name be?
Oh my God, you put me on the spot now. I mean, I'd have to think of something cool before I gave you an answer. I don't know. I can't really, I mean, Gwar is entertaining. I'll tell you that. I'm friends with a lot of those guys.
Sure.
I'm not a huge fan I just said it, I guess. I'm not like a huge old time fan, but they're entertaining and they're all cool people.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect what they do. It's a lot of work, you know, what they do. But as far as being a character, I mean, that band's probably had about 500 members.
It's true.
And since they started, because they just, you know, they can put on the costume and no one knows who's under it. You know?
Exactly.
But,
okay, well,
yeah.
I don't need to put you on the spot there with that one, but So I'll ask you about New Orleans music then, because I talked with Jimmy and we talked a little bit about that. He, you know, he said that the Vice documentary about New Orleans, you know, he said it, he really liked it and everyone really supported the way that they did on that. Now I'm curious about for you, like, you know, we all know the Down, the I Hate God, you know, the Crowbar, the Acid Bath. Is there any New Orleans music that you think is maybe underrepresented? Something that you think, you know, a New Orleans band that people should go back and check out?
Yeah, totally. There's a lot of bands. I mean, they're more punk bands.
Yeah.
Or hardcore bands, as opposed to metal. But there was a band called Graveyard Rodeo.
Okay.
Who were you know, punk and metal. So they did have the metal, you know, parts and stuff, but they were one of the first bands in New Orleans to do like the slow doomy stuff along with like, you know, faster punk stuff or even slower punk stuff. But, you know, they just had this, they were great when they first started. Maybe not when they first started, but later on.
Yeah.
Then they had a bunch of lineup changes and put out a bunch of records on Century Media that don't really represent them, I don't think. I mean, seeing them back in the day. But Graveyard Rodeo, yeah. Their demos is what people should look for on YouTube.
Graveyard Rodeo. Cool. Look it up.
Yeah, that's one band. But over the years, there's been a ton of punk bands from there. New Orleans is not known for punk bands. You know, it's not like you see a movie like that movie American Hardcore, and they talk about scenes across America, different punk rock hardcore scenes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't mention New Orleans, although we had a thriving scene. You know, back from the late 70s. You know, I mean, and that's actually what it evolved into all. The stuff coming out from down there now, you know. But I don't know, there's bands like the Pallbearers, who are still around. They still play.
Nice.
There was a band called the Sluts, who are like my favorite local punk band.
Nice.
They put out one record and then, you know, disappeared. There's a band called Shell Shock from down there, another band who put out records, but the records don't really represent them that well. They had some early 7-inches that were great. Shell Shock. Oh my God. There was a band called the Normals back in that. I saw them and that was like 1978. That was like way back. Like, you know, that's when people were still pogoing and, you know, wearing little skinny ties. And
it's right at the beginning of the punk. Yep.
Yeah. And I mean, I was like super young. My brother used to work at a place. He'd bring me to see these bands, you know, work at a club. So anyway, the Normals, they're great to me. They're awesome. They're pretty melodic, but, you know, total Ramones, Clash kind of influence. The Red Rockers, that was a great New Orleans band. But then they sold out and totally went like, They played a bunch of shows with U2, opening for U2, and they completely changed their sound into like almost like indie. I don't know, you know, you'd probably call it like indie.
Saw Money Signs.
Yeah,
and they were
for
with
sure.
U2.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. They started to sound before that. They were like the Clash, but meets Black Flag, which is, sounds like one of the best bands ever when I describe it like that. But They were great. You know, there's a lot of underrated and unknown stuff from New Orleans, you know, that people just don't, when they think of hardcore and punk rock, they don't go, oh, New Orleans. You know, because we're deep south, you know, just kind of gets overlooked. But there's a whole history of stuff from there. The Backstabbers, another great band. The Contenders. There's a whole list of stuff I could go on. But
you just hooked me up with a YouTube deep dive, man. I'm going to write these down.
Yeah, right? For sure.
Yeah.
What's yeah. That? I've been in, there's tons of bands I've been in. I've been in bands since I was like 14. So I was in, my first band was called Teenage Waste. That was my first real band, like that actually played out in clubs. But I had like, you know, bedroom bands, I call them, before that, where you just, you need a guitar or you need drums, but you just like, you know, you just tell everybody you're in a band anyway. But so, you know, I've been doing this a long time.
Well, I mean, you mentioned doing it a long time, you know, doing it since you were 14, you know, and to some people, you know, they have their quote unquote punk or metal phase, and then they kind of just, you know, go on to whatever else or, you know, but you're a lifer, you know, that's pretty safe to say. What's kept you in it, man, and kept you just like so devoted to it and kept you, you know, going strong and still, you know, putting out music and touring? What's kept you in it?
I mean, I don't know exactly because it's something like otherworldly, you know, that keeps you going. But, I mean, I'm just passionate about music.
Yeah.
And especially like the stuff that we play and I mean, it's just, I like a lot of different kinds of music. So it just, I find something new every day that, you know, I'm always checking out different bands and whatever, you know. So I mean, that, you know, just it, I don't know, it's just something that makes me want to keep doing it, you know. I love playing on stage, I love touring. Mm-hmm. I've never gotten tired of it or gotten sick of it ever, so you know, it's just one of those things. It's, and I think people are. Who say like they were punk, they never really were. Mm-hmm. Because how can you used to be punk? I mean, if you really were into it, you still are into it. If that's my outlook on it.
Well, I have a question, and I hate to, you know, bring it up. I do want to bring it up though, because, you know, yesterday was the anniversary of the passing of Dimebag Darrell, and being that you guys, you know, toured with them, and you were friends with you know, Pantera and Dimebag and Hell Yeah, yeah, and all of their everything. I was curious if you know, you have any specific, you know, memories of Dimebag, and when you think of Dimebag, like what's like a good moment that you can think of?
I mean, there's so many. The guy was, he was a great guy. You know, he was amazing, funny, you know, just hilarious. Like, you know, I don't know. There's just so many strange things that he would do. He would dress up as a janitor. And like during the opening bands when Pantera was playing, he would go out in the crowd like in this janitor's outfit, and no one would know it's him. I guess he put his hair back and everything. Mm-hmm. And he would just start sweeping up the place. I mean, he did stuff like that. He had like these costumes he'd put on. Like one of them was this old man, but it had a penis.
Okay.
Like a prosthetic dick,
yeah,
if you will. And he would walk out on stage. We knew it was him because we'd, you know, he'd done it before, but a lot of people in the crowd had no idea what's going on. And he would just walk out on stage in this old man's outfit, yeah, with the penis, and the penis would just spray some kind of liquid everywhere.
Oh my god.
And it was, I mean, that's just how, that's his sense of humor, yeah, know? That's Dimebag's, you know, I mean. Mm-hmm. Coming out one night, we had eaten a bunch of weed cookies, so mm-hmm. we were like baked, and I felt like I was on acid. Actually, I ate like one cookie and had to sit down. So we're just sitting there, and our equipment's sitting on this, like, you know, one of those carts that you wheel it around in, and none of us could load anything because we were just so fucked up from these cookies, these weed cookies, mm-hmm. and we're just sitting there, and Dimebag walks up, and he's wearing leather pants and like a big leather cowboy hat or something. And he just starts unloading our equipment into the van. Like, and I don't know. That was funny to me because he's just all psyched up going, "Come on, y'all, let's go." And we're just so that we couldn't help.
I'm too high, man.
Yeah, exactly. But he's loading our equipment, so we eventually got up and we're like, yeah, we gotta help this guy.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I appreciate you humoring me and telling me a couple Dimebag stories, man, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course, man. Of course.
So, you know, winding down the interview, there's one question we always ask, and it's kind of a strange one, but if you could,
okay,
pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got the scar.
Well, I'm covered with them. There's scars everywhere. I mean, tattoos are scars too, mm-hmm. right? But I guess the liver scar on my torso
Yeah.
It's probably the biggest one, and that's just from the transplant, you know. There's a huge long story about it all, but you know, it's basically that I needed a new liver, so mm-hmm. I got one. But that's probably the biggest scar I have. That's about it.
And when you know you needed that liver, and it was just such an ode to like how the metal scene was there for you, man. I hate to sound corny, but you know you had like kind of the GoFundMe, and you know I hate to sound corny, but the metal tribe, you know, they really you know held you up in that time of need, and you know they were able to meet the goal. Is that right?
Well, yeah. I mean, that was the punk scene as well, and mm-hmm. it was everybody. It wasn't just like one type of music.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Sorry, the I Hate God, your family, the people that love I Hate God.
Yeah, it was all our friends, and I don't even like to say fans, but you know, mm-hmm. fans. I'd rather say friends or something like
sure.
that. But yeah, it's just people from all over the world, and it was overwhelming to me. You know, that helped me. Like when I was in the hospital for 3 months mm-hmm. and that really like, you know, and reading, you know, the comments on Facebook and et cetera, that all that stuff really, really helped keep me positive and, you know, keep my spirits up to keep going, you know? So, that was overwhelming. And I thank all those people. It was amazing.
Absolutely, man. You know, we look after our own.
Yep, that's true.
Even, you know, when you're in the circle pit and you fall down, we pick you back up. When you're in need, you know, with something medical, we'll help you out, man. So,
It was the way society looks at, I mean, not so much now, but, you know, being a punk rocker back in the day, you know, in the 70s, early 80s, you know, you'd get your ass kicked like once a week, you know, it was like, but now it seems like it's more acceptable, but there's like a whole community behind it now because there's so many people, and that includes metal and goth and industrial and whatever other types of music you want to throw in there.
It's all the underground.
All the fringe types of music. All those people chipped in, you know, so
it's awesome.
It's great to see that happening and that there's so many people, you know, into different kinds of music, and it's just great.
That's awesome, man. Well, I super appreciate you talking, and you guys are still out on tour right now, or are you guys heading back home, or what's the deal?
We're just taking it day by day. We're just cool. Seeing what's going on. You know, we're trying to figure out what's going to happen next. You know, that's the way everything is nowadays. It's day by day. You know, sometimes it's even hour by hour.
Yeah,
you know?
Minute by minute, dude.
The news changes and something else is going on, or you know, either good news or bad news.
Yep.
You got to just see what's, you know, it's hard to plan ahead these days. You know, it's kind of like you're just in limbo kind of until you know things look good to go, you know. So
well,
that's what we're doing.
Best of luck to you guys, and hopefully you heal up and, you know, get back on the road. And we love you here in the Northwest, so, you know, we welcome you every time, and we'll keep coming back.
And, I did want to say we love Seattle. You know, I got a lot of friends there, and it's a great place. We always have great shows there, so we were really looking forward to playing that show, and I'm really sorry that we couldn't. I apologize to people that were going to see us, you know. So, at least they got to see Napalm and Gore. So, but we'll be back though, and we'll probably headline next time we come back. So,
last time I saw you guys, I went and saw Metallica down the street, and Metallica played for, you know, 2.5 hours. So we're like,
right.
Okay. I Hate God's playing down the street. I Hate God, is it going to be on? And we got there right as you guys were about to go on. We're like, yes, perfect. So we saw Metallica, and I Hate God headlined over Metallica for us.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
That's it's like this. We played this festival in Spain once in mm-hmm. Vivero, Spain. And we actually got Kiss to open for us that night.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That was pretty cool. Yeah, man. That was awesome.
Epic.
Gene Simmons told us to scoff as well. Mm. When.
Whatever. He's your opening
that's
band. It's okay.
Yeah, that's actually true, though. We were, like, just standing by the side of the stage watching him get off stage, and he looked over at us and said, "Go off!"
Jesus.
Well, I'm like, we're just looking at this guy. He was like 6 feet tall, 6 feet something, with makeup on and in a costume. Sorry for staring at you.
Yeah.
You know, some band we liked as kids, and then the guy's telling me to off. But that's Gene for you, I guess.
I guess so. Dude, thank you so much, man.
Yeah, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.